Amen. If you could open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, little hint, 902 in your pew Bibles, on your phones, in airplane mode, or iPads, electronically. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of God. Praise, thanks be to God.
Has it ever happened to you when you've been maybe talking with a parent of a young child, like a toddler, and your clothing might be similar to the mother or father, and the child runs up and attaches themselves to your leg, and they're carrying on just fine until they look up and you're not mom or dad, and then you see that look of panic on their face, and then they jump over to their mother or father. Does that happen to anybody here? I mean, it is, when they come to you, you just sort of have that feeling like, okay, wait for it, it's coming, and then boom, they're off. Now, we laugh at that one, but we train our children to be able to distinguish us, don't we? When we would go into a public place when our kids were small, we made sure that, okay, see what daddy's wearing, see what mommy's wearing. If you get separated, look, okay. And it's so important, isn't it, that we have trained our children not to just go to strangers, not to just be friendly with everyone, because there are people who are very dangerous, who would like nothing better than to have our children as victims of mistaken identity. They would love to deceive them. And so as parents, we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful. But you know, it's not just children who have to be careful. We haven't talked about the evil one much during our series on the seven deadly sins. But one of his favorite tactics, and most evil, is deception. He loves to present himself Paul says it so clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 when he's speaking of false prophets and deceitful workers. He said, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." See, Satan would like nothing better than to convince us that he offers good. Every temptation that comes to us comes as if it looks good. It comes as if it looks good. And again, we've looked at the first six of the seven deadly sins, and we started with pride. But then we saw that, no, God has something better than pride. It's humility, and humility can be the antidote for it. That we have envy. Envy comes to us, and we're green. We see what others have, and we want that for ourselves. And God says, no, it's actually kindness toward others and gratitude for what we have. We looked at anger, and how easy it is for each one of us not just to fall into it, but to jump into it. But if we'll be patient, and if we'll be willing to forgive, we can escape the snare of anger. We looked at sloth, and that diligence is God's answer to sloth and apathy, and even greed, that generosity is key. And then last week we saw gluttony, that we need to have limits, that God sets up limits for us. He designs them for us to protect us. But when we look at these sins, you might look and say, you know, I really don't have a problem with sloth, but yeah, greed, that one's hard. Maybe not anger, but yeah, envy, that one works. And if you say that you don't have a problem with pride, you're just deceived. Because every one of us has an issue with pride. However, for me, it was actually lust that God used my sin to bring me to faith in Christ. As a full 14-year-old boy, I've told some of you, I know our old youth group members know it, I was very much interested in pornography. And in fact, anybody remember Hanoian's Market? Hanoian's Market over on Cedar and Butler. You know, I got to meet one of the owners of Hanoian's Market. Unfortunately, it wasn't the most opportune of times because I had stolen some magazines and put them under my jacket, and they observed it. And that's when I got to meet the owners. I can smile, but I was convinced as a 14-year-old that lust and love were the same thing. I had great passion, and I really enjoyed it. And so much of the message I got from everywhere around me was that lust is love, that passion is love. And so the message from the outside combined with the sin on the inside, and the angel of light, the one who is masquerading as an angel of light, deceiving me, I fell hook, line, and sinker. So it's so important that we get the difference between lust and love. I love this. I hope you can read that up there. Lust is the devil's counterfeit for love. There is nothing more beautiful on earth than a pure love, and there is nothing so blighting as lust. D.L. Moody said that. C.S. Lewis, great quote, "Lust is a poor, weak, whimpering, whispering thing compared with that richness and energy of desire which will arise when lust has been killed." See, it's a battle. It is a battle, and in many of us, lust and love are at war. I love how Frederick Buechner says it. Lust is the craving for salt of a man who is dying of thirst. So let that one sink for a moment. Lust is the craving for salt of a man who is dying of thirst. See, lust comes quickly, but love is patient. Lust is geared for self-gratification. It's impatient. It's rude. It doesn't care. It's jealous. It's about getting. And love is the opposite of each one of those things. Again, we've been looking at the seven deadly sins, and sin is denial. It's a denial of God's character, and it's a denial of our nature. And here in the passage that Bodvili read, what was repeated about who God is or what God is? God is love. It's not the only thing that he is, but God is love. God is not lust. God is never in a hurry. God is never self-seeking. God's never trying to take something. But in our sin, we deny that that's our drive. Our drive naturally is to lust. See, lust, the word, the root of the word and its context always in Scripture is lust is an out-of-control desire. It's an out-of-control desire that is born, it's connected to immediacy. We need to have it now. We need it, and we need it now. And the evil that we do in the name of lust, seeking to fulfill these out-of-control desires, can know no limit. See, lust, again, it's a desire for pleasure. It's a desire for pleasure. And I love how Tim Keller puts it. It's a desire for pleasure, but without a promise and without a person. Love is a desire, an out-of-control desire, without a promise and without a person. Want to know the difference between lust and love in your life? Is it out of control? Is it coupled with a commitment? Is it coupled with a person? Most of the time, it's not. This is what makes it so dangerous, so dangerous. See, lust desires, and again, like greed, like gluttony, these are one of the sins of appetite. It's not like pride. Pride's really on the inside. Envy, it reveals what's on the inside. Sloth is the rejection of the outside. But greed and gluttony, lust, it's just a desire. And so I want you to make, just understand, the church has never thought lust is the worst of all sins. Frequently, church people in the 20th and 21st century have focused so much on lust or so much on the sins of appetite that we miss, it's like Jesus said, it's what's on the inside, it's simply coming out. But that doesn't make it any less dangerous. Because again, there's a deception that lust is the same as love, but lust desires where love sacrifices. Lust desires, but love sacrifices. Lust desires, but love gives. And again, we read it. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know God, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. And whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Does God lust? No. God loves. Over and over in this passage, it's God giving. It's God sacrificing. Because that's what love does. See, obviously, love is the antidote for lust. I want you to read this with me, please. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through. Want to know what love is? Remember that song by Foreigner? I won't sing it for you. You want to know what love is? This is it. This is it. What we long for from others, God offers to us. Continue. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Today is Palm Sunday. We celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Do you think Jesus knew what was going to happen that week? Do you think he knew as he's riding in on the donkey, they've got the clothes and the palm branches on the ground, everyone's screaming, Hosanna. The disciples are saying, yes, finally, they're giving him the glory and honor he deserves. Did Jesus know what was going on? Do you think Jesus in the garden, as he was praying after Judas had left, do you think Jesus knew that they were coming from the temple to arrest him? He could have run. He could have just bypassed Jerusalem. But what did he pray? Not my will, but yours be done. See, that's what love is. Love is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, the symbol of love is not a heart. The symbol of love is a cross. The symbol of love is an altar on which the Son of God is sacrificed as the only acceptable sacrifice that can pay for my sin or your sin. And in the garden, what did Jesus say? Yes. He said yes because he loves you. He said yes because he loves your family member who has yet to come to faith. He said yes in the garden. He offered himself on the cross because he loves the person that you just can't even imagine ever receiving his love. Do you have that person in mind? Ask God that this week you might be able to let them know that God loves them. That Easter isn't just for you, but it can be for them too. See, verse 11 says it clearly. Read that loudly, please. Could you do that one more time? Many ways you can do that this week. One of them just might be through your voice to let someone know that God's love is real, that God's love is great enough to forgive their sins because Christ stayed on the cross, died paying the punishment that we deserve, and then was raised from the dead and declared the Son of God in power. Let's come back to the sin of lust. How are you going to break it? How are you going to break the sin of lust when your eyes, your mind, your heart is just drawn to an object of desire with whom you have no commitment, no promise, and you don't even see them as a person? How are you going to break the hold of lust? Is it possible to read what's on the internet? You would be convinced that lust is actually a really good thing. That it's an expression of our natural desires and urges. I can't even imagine who I would be right now, 35 years later, if I had bought that lie. Imagine what our lives would become if we buy into the lie that lust is what we were created for. It's a lie. And one person will be laughing at you if you buy into it. And his name is Satan. And he plays for keeps. See, the way to break the power of lust is to love. One of the things that someone told me, and I don't remember who it was, but as a young teenager seeking, however feebly, to live for Christ, they said, "Greg, every time you see a girl that you're inclined to lust after, why don't you pray for her?" Pretty hard to pray for someone that you're lusting after. Whole lot of people got prayed for when I was in high school. When you feel that pull, how can you love? If the object of your lust happens to be someone else's husband or wife, love the wife if it's the husband you're lusting after. Love the husband if you're tempted to lust after someone else's wife. Actively seek the good of another. See, love kills lust. Because lust has no shelf life. It's perishable. You say no to lust and say yes to love, it dies right there on the spot. But love continues to grow the more you feed it, the more it grows. The more you feed it, the more it grows. See, Christ loves us. We read in 1 John, this is how we know we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in the children of God. What is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. It's there. He's handing it to us. He's saying, just open up to me. Ask me for love. Never forget, I was here as a youth pastor. A man in his probably 40s or 50s, probably the most humble man I ever met, came to me as a kid, and he said, Greg, I want you to meet me at my office. I said, okay. So I met him at his office. Got there about 7 in the morning before anybody else in the office came. He said, okay, I'm going to just tell you, I'm not having an affair yet, but I want to. Because, you know, the kids, they make me crazy. My wife's gained a lot of weight over the course of the pregnancies. And, you know, my colleague, she's just so winsome. We can talk about anything. She's so intellectually engaging. I go home and there are the kids. And my wife, all she wants to do is get a break. And so she hands me the kid. And, you know, I'm just having a hard time. He said, I'm not having an affair yet, but I need you to pray with me because I'm having an emotional affair. And I know I don't want to do it, but I'm weak. I don't want to ruin my marriage, but if I don't do something soon, it's over. Can you imagine sharing that with someone? See, you can't fight the 7 deadly sins alone. We can't do it. We need the body of Christ. I wasn't married, but oh, I was an expert in lust. I wasn't married, so I didn't know how to destroy a marriage by experience, but oh boy, I understood exactly what he was doing and exactly how he was playing the game that no, his hands were off, his clothes were on, but boy, was his mind engaged. So we want to break the power of lust. We share it with each other, and we say, God, fill me with the love of Christ. Fill me with the love of Christ. Fill me with the love of Christ. And as I'll never forget this. I was in St. Vincent in the Caribbean. A guy stood up. The room filled with young people. He was probably 15 years old. And his girlfriend apparently was sitting next to him. And he said, man, what if she really wants you to be the father of her child? You should have seen her face. She looked up at him and it's like, and every now and then the Lord just speaks through you. And I said, you know what? You'll be okay. Just keep your pants on. That answer was only half right. And what we continue to talk about is we need to fill our minds with the love of Christ. What has Christ done for you? God loved you and gave his Son. Christ loved you and sacrificed himself for you. Oh Lord, fill me with that love. Fill me to receive that love, and fill me so that I could extend that love to others. Amen. Please stand for the benediction.